Over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at this idea of what is our mission? What are we here for? Do we just come to church day in, day out, and go through another week, another day? Even as Christians, we've believed on Jesus, but is it all just about living our life, going to work, making a buck, paying the bills, going to bed, having fun, playing some games, coming home, going to bed? One more thing. There's more than just living life. And we've been looking at this. There is a mission. You have a mission. God has made you special and on purpose to accomplish great things. And so we need to begin to realize that we need to begin to intentionally, consciously understand what we are doing in life and begin to live on purpose. There is power when we begin to live on purpose rather than just going through life and whatever comes, we just respond to that, we react to it. Instead of that, God has called us to live on mission. If we become people who live in mission, that means that we live with a purpose. When you live with a purpose, I'm going to tell you, you make a difference. You make a difference. And so we've looked at as a church and as a body, as a family, we have embraced this mission that not only do we individually have a mission, but it's when we bring our individual missions together that we as a church fulfill these missions. And when we as a church fulfill the mission of God, Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Now, he didn't say that about individual Christians. He said that only as the church. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Too many times we try and go against the gates of hell on our own. And even though God is with us, we do not have the same power as when we come together as a body in the purpose, because God's purpose was to use the church. And so we need to embrace the mission of the church as our own. And we've looked at, this is our mission statement as a church here, that we are called to be loving, following, and sharing Jesus. And it's a simple mission. We can remember that. Hopefully you've got that nailed into your heart. Are we loving, following, and sharing Jesus? That's what we're all about. It is three simple things, but it is three things that are deep and that make a major difference in our life. We've talked about the first two already, that the very first one, everything is based on, we are only called to love Jesus. We are called to love him. You're not called just follow rules. You're not called to be religious. You're not called to see how good you are more than you are bad, but you are called to love him. Do we love him? Do we know him? Are we walking with him? Part of loving him is growing in that relationship of who he is, of spending time. The more we know him, the more we love him. But it is all with the purpose of simply to love our Lord who loved us first. And it says we only love him because he loved us. And he has called to us. And even today, he loves you so much that he is whispering in your ear, would you just come and know me and love me? And if we love him, then we will follow him. Over and over, he said, follow me. More than two or three times, as many times as he said, believe in me, he said, follow me. Because if you love him, we will want to be with him. We will follow him. And to follow him means to go where he goes. That means to be like him. That means to begin to embrace his heart. To begin to understand that what I want doesn't matter. It's what he wants. And when I begin to enter into a life of following, I begin to experience value. Because in following him, his glory begins to spread onto us. We begin to find peace and fulfillment and satisfaction more in following him than you will ever get following your own dreams. When you follow your own desires and you follow your own dreams, you know what? There might be momentary experiences but they will be followed by a lifetime of emptiness and regret, because everything you accomplish in this world will never fill the emptiness of what you were created for. It is only when we follow him, when we deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow him, and it seems like a sacrifice, and it may seem like you're losing everything in this world, and yet Jesus even said, when you lose your life, you will gain it, because Jesus offers life that is lasting, that is fulfilling, that is deeper than this world can have. But the world can't see that. And I know even some of us, it's hard to see, and we struggle with that. But yet that's our mission, to follow him. Today we're going to look at the third one. We are not only called to love him and to follow him, but we are called to share him. And I'm going to tell you, this is the third one because it really is an outpouring of a response if we've learned to do the first two. If you've experienced the love of God and you have begun to walk with him as you let him lead your life, there's gonna be something that just pours out of you. We sang that song, let it pour out of me. Let me be so filled that I can't help but pour out who he is. See, when you love something, you will share it. When something is your goal and dream and you are following something, if you are hungry and thirsty for that, it's gonna show up in your life. And so part of our mission is to let what God has put within us not stay within us, but begin to share it with others. And there's a reason for that, because there are those that God loves, that he longs for them to know about him. And if we don't share Jesus, there's a world that will never know that they could be set free. There's a world that will enter into eternal suffering. And we need to understand that that is real. That if we don't share Jesus, we have the very words of life. We have the very source of freedom for this world. And yet many times we keep it within us. We let it stagnate within us. And yet God is calling, would you share it? Would you give it to the world? Would you give it to your neighbors, to your family? And it's the saddest thing that even our own family, we do not share Jesus. Jesus, in these last words before he left in Matthew, verse 28, he said this. Jesus spoke to them right before he ascended into heaven. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He said, go and make disciples. In other words, just begin to go and lead people to me. Because a disciple is simply a follower. If you're following, bring other people to follow. Let others begin to see that they can receive the same hope that you have. That was Jesus' heart. Go and share this. This is not just for a few. Let's let the world experience this. So much so that he says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, he says this. And you show that you are a letter from Christ, delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not written on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Do you realize that you are a letter from Christ written to this world? You are a love letter. You see, we have this word, but many people will never have this word unless we bring it to them. And before they ever read this word, they're going to read this word. You are the introduction letter. You are the one that is the love letter written by God, and he has written it on your heart. Would you deliver that letter to the world? I don't know, some of us remember back when we actually wrote letters. And sometimes I miss that because it was way more fulfilling than a text or an email. You longed for that letter that the postman would bring, right? And I know that, especially when it's from someone you love and someone that's encouraging you, and I remember even more so when I was in boot camp in the Air Force in San Antonio. Oh man, you looked for those letters. Sometimes those were the only things that kept you going, because you just wanted to cry. And you'd get those letters, and you know, it's not something you just read, okay, I read it once, okay, I'm done. No, you'd read it over and over. I just want to read the same thing over and over. I know what it says, but it doesn't matter. I just want to look at it. I want to hold it because it brings hope and life. And people, you don't realize that you're that letter to this world. And sometimes you're the only thing that will keep them going. And yet we are so self-centered that we think our life is about me. And you are holding back from people that need a life that is written from God. You are the letter written from Christ to those around you. And it might be to a stranger around you, or it might be to the closest person right next to you. And yet even the closest people to us, many times we have not been the letter that we should be from Christ to our loved ones. Many times we treat our loved ones worse, or we lead our loved ones away from Christ into things that do not give life. We are called to share. Are we really sharing Christ? That's what I want to ask us today. Are we sharing Christ? Is Christ coming out of your life? I'm telling you, if Christ is not coming out of our life, if we are not living a life that expresses the letter that God has written, I'm telling you, then you don't know Christ. Then your life is not found in Christ. Because when we are found in Christ, we will love him and we will follow him. And if we are following him, we will share him. Because if we are not sharing, then I'm telling you, then you don't love him. You may like him, and you may, like we've been talking about in Sunday school, you may be a fan of him. Ooh, I root for Jesus. And he's my champion. He, you know, I don't have to go to hell because I believe in him. But I'm going to tell you, it's the most dangerous thing, because if you're just a fan, yeah, you're probably not going to be with him. Because he's not called us to be fans. He's called us to be followers. He's called us to be sold out lovers of him. And that means we're going to share. We're going to look at what that means, but here's what he goes on in the same book, 2 Corinthians, a few chapters later. In chapter 5, he tells us this. And this is really the crux of what I'm going to hit on today. This is what Paul says. For the love of Christ compels us. I want you to just remember those words. The love of Christ compels us. To be compelled means, you know what, it is something I cannot hold back. It is compelling me. It is pushing me. It is a force that cannot be restrained. Jeremiah put it this way. He said, your words are like a fire burning in my bones. I don't want to share you, Jesus, because all I get is ridicule back. And all I get is losing what I would rather have. In fact, sometimes, Jesus, I hate you because it is because of you I don't get to live like everyone else. I see them partying and having fun, and yet the word of God burns within me, and I am compelled to follow you. Paul says it's the love of Christ compels me. And yet, even though they both say that, in the end they say, but I don't say that because I don't regret anything. Because the things that I have lost, I consider them like trash, Paul said. He said, yes, I've lost. I don't get to live the life as everyone else, but that's okay because I consider that life trash compared to the knowledge of my Redeemer, the God that saved me. I have so much more than everyone else. The love of Christ compels me because we judge this, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Thank God. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. In other words, he's brought us home. We were lost, and he brought us home through Jesus Christ. And now he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We were rescued that we now may rescue others. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world, or rescuing the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation, so that now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, saying, "We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You see, Paul understood this great gift that God had done for him. God came to me when I was lost in my own pride, when I didn't even realize I was lost. I was heading down a road full speed that was a dead end, that I didn't realize that as soon as I turned that last corner, I was going to be going off a cliff. But I was enjoying the ride. But yet God rescued me because he loved me enough not to let me go my own way. And he gave me a gift that now I am a new creature. I have new desires. And I realize what life can really be. And it's because of that, I have this gift to give others. And now I am the ambassador for Christ. He has made me his representative, as if he is pleading through me. And you see, you are now Christ's ambassadors. And I love this word. It says, Christ is pleading through you. Do you realize that God is crying through you to those that are lost? And what is he crying to them? He's crying to them, don't keep going this same life. Turn before it's too late. Because not because I want to condemn you, not because I'm judging you, but because I love you and I want you to experience this love. You see, it's that love that compels him. I'm going to ask you, what compels you? What drives you in your life? Is it because, man, I just love this activity so much, or I love my family so much? Is that what compels you? You see, I think we have lost our motivation for life. We are motivated by things that others can give us or by what we can get in this world. And those are good things, but don't you realize that if we gain them on our own, we will lose them. You, by seeking those things in your own hand, you are turning them into dust yourself. Whereas if we will sacrifice those things and seek God, if you will begin to say, I want to be motivated to know God more, and let his love compel us. Here's the great thing. He says, when you lose your life, he will give you the very things that you wanted in the first place. But if you don't get them through him, you'll never get them at all. There's the difference. We need to understand, I need to let my life be motivated by love of God. God, I want to love you so much that it motivates me. It motivates me to even give up things that I wouldn't give up before. It motivates me to change my priorities. It motivates me to do something different, but not out of rules, not because I need to, but because of love, that God loved me so much that he died for me. He became sin for me. Do you understand the depth of the love of God? When you do, then that love is what should motivate you. And it all comes down to this. If you share God out of any other reason, it is empty. If you share because you think you have to share God, if you witness because I need to do it, you're missing the point. It should be something that is natural, that God just fills me so much that I can't keep it out anymore. When I see someone lost, it's going to move me to tears because God is crying over them. Are we compelled by love? Well, the only way we can be compelled by love is we need to be filled by love. And there's where we're all at. Here's the invitation. Will you let God fill you with his love? And there's the choice that we stand on, because that's the hard one. Can you let go of your life? Are you willing to trust God to let him fill you with his love? But until we are filled with his love, we can never share it. Now, you can give a little representation of it, and you can talk to people about it, but I'm going to tell you, that's not going to change them. What's going to change them is the true love of God that is in you, that has changed you, and now is overflowing. Because I'm going to tell you, your words aren't going to change people. Your life are not going to change people, because you know what? People see the phoniness of your life. They see the fact that you call yourself a Christian, and you say a lot of things, but they see what you really love. They see the love that is compelling you, and that's what's affecting them. And many times, we think we're being such a good example, and yet you're leading people down a road away from God. Why? Because we're not really compelled by the love of God. We're compelled by our own love. And so I want to encourage you today, will you begin to say, I will love you, God, so much so that I need more of you. And we acknowledge that we need his love so that it compels us. I want to experience that so that I have something to share. Well, let me tell you today that God is going to invite you, that he will not let you down. He said, anyone who calls on me, I will acknowledge him and fill him. But in saying that, once we do experience the love of God, then what does it mean to share? How do we share? And we're just going to go through this quick. But I think sharing Jesus is much different than what we sometimes think. There's a whole lot more to it. It's not just going out on a street corner and witnessing. I'm going to give you 6 ways that the Bible tells us that we are called to share him. We are called to share him in ways that maybe today you're going to go and say, I didn't know that that's what I was called to do, to share Jesus. And yet they are. Here's the first way that we share. You know how you share Jesus? By building the body. If you know the love of God, if you are following Christ, if you love God, then you will not be able to help yourself. You will give yourself to the body of Christ. Because the love of God compels us to build the body of Christ. We need to share Jesus, not with the lost. See, I think sometimes we put that the first thing, which it is something we need to do, and we'll get there. But the very first thing, you need to share Jesus. I need you to share Jesus with me. We need each other to share Jesus with us because we need to be built up in him. On my own, I will never get there. Jesus says this in 1 Corinthians, says, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. In other words, I have filled your life with special gifts. You see, the love that compels you is a love of enablement. It is a love that has made you for a reason. And there are a lot of different gifts that we have all been given. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. And to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In other words, right here it says that every one of us has been given the manifestation of the Spirit. In other words, he's poured his Spirit within you. He has brought you to a love relationship with him, and it was for one reason, so that you can build up the common good. He loved you so that you could bless one another, because we are a family. We are given the love of God that we might build this body, the church. That's why Jesus said, I will build my church. And when my church begin to love one another and they share me with one another and they begin to just pour into each other the love of God, you know what? Then the gates of hell will not prevail against us. So are you building the body? Are you sharing Jesus with us? If you aren't, we're missing out. We're not strong enough. The gates of hell are going to win against us because we need to build each other. If God has loved you, would you love us? Would you begin to prioritize the body of Christ? See, church is not just something we come to. Church is something we love and we grow ourselves into and we give ourselves to because I am sharing the love of God. I share Jesus to build the church. Ephesians 4 says, rather, we are called to speak the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You see, we are meant to be the body of Christ. So if we are to share Christ, we do it by building the body. And it says the body is only as strong as every part does its part. You are called to be a part to make us strong. But how many of us have dedicated yourself to building this body? Let's be honest. We go through the motions. We give a portion of our life. But we have not understood that if God has called me to be the righteousness of God, to enjoy the love of God, then I am called to share the love of God with the body that God has put me in. And I share God. The overflow of his love shows up in a person who does his part to add something to the body of Christ. I'll find some way to serve. I'll find some way to make a difference in the church. We've all been given a gift. Are we using our gift? Using our gift is not just about service. It's not just about following the rules. It's about loving God. How can I not love God who gave himself for me and not give myself to the body of Christ that it might be strong in this world so that the gates of hell will not prevail against us? Well, not only do we share God by building the body, but we share Jesus by encouraging the family. Now, there's a difference between building the body and finding our place and making a difference and encouraging the family of God. We are called to share Jesus into each one of our lives because here's the thing. We need to understand that everyone you're sitting by are people that are struggling. It's not just the lost out there. Sometimes we think, oh, it's the people that don't need Jesus. They're the only ones that struggle. I had to tell you, there's Christians that are struggling, that may be on the brink of losing their faith, and they need us to share. That is why we come together as a body. And yet so many times we just think it's about us, and we just give these times of coming together third priority, when sometimes there's people that you need to encourage. We encourage through our words. We encourage through our love. But you have the ability to encourage us. We should be encouraging one another. How much time have you spent encouraging the family? Because if you have the love of God, if the love of God compels you, it will compel you to encourage, to speak into one another's life. And it doesn't mean that you have to have the answer to encourage someone. Sometimes you encourage someone just by coming and weeping with them. Just by coming and saying, I understand, but God is bigger than this. and we're going to make it through together. We need people who are on mission to share Jesus with one another by simply coming alongside and saying, brother, sister, we're going to walk this journey together. That's why Hebrews tells us this. Exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Jesus says, do you not realize that just because we're Christians, there's some of us that are in danger of being hardened by sin? That Satan is at the footstep even of us, and he is longing to steal away our joy and our life. And it is up to us to come along one side and exhort one another, to encourage one another, to begin to share Jesus in us. You might say, I don't have much of Jesus. I don't care. Share what you've got. And here's the funny thing. When we begin to encourage one another, God will give you more. Sometimes it's hard for us to encourage because I'm hurting myself. The greatest way that God can bless you is when you encourage someone when you are hurting. Sometimes the greatest healing happens when you are willing to come and give of yourself. And Jesus brings back into us. Hebrews 10 says this, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. God says, that's why we come together. If church is not a priority, then you are missing the love of God in your heart, because it compels us to not neglect coming together, but we consider how we can stir one another up. I'm going to be there. I want to come together, not just for what I can get from it. See, everyone sees church as just something that, what does it do for me? That's not what church is about. We are to come to church, and it's not just Sunday mornings. It's at fellowship time. It's at service time. It's at Bible study time. It's in all those different ways that we are coming to stir one another up, to encourage one another, to experience the love of God, because we all need it. Don't you realize we need one another because we are all broken, and that's how the enemy pulls us aside, by isolating us, by getting us to think that we've just done our duty. And he comes in, and it's the deceitfulness that pulls us away. We need to come together. So we share Jesus by building the body, by encouraging the family, even when we're hurt. But also, we share Jesus by having compassion on the hurting. You cannot share Jesus without understanding the brokenness of people around us. And I don't care who they are. We need to begin to see hurting, not just in one definition, but in every definition. Because many times there's issues and both sides are hurting. And many times we choose one side or the other. You know what? Here's the thing. Christians are not caught. Do we choose the victims or do we choose those in authority? Well, I'm going to come against the people that are abusing their authority. You know, it's not one side or the other. We are called to have compassion on the hurting, because I'm telling you, in every case, there's probably someone hurting on both sides. We're just called to have compassion. Are we willing to be people of compassion and stop judging and stop choosing sides? The reason the world is so mixed up is because people have chosen sides. Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative. God doesn't care. He wants people. We need to stop seeing people by those labels. I don't care what they've done, and I don't care what you come against. We need to begin to see people through the eyes of God, that we are all broken. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And begin to live a life of compassion and begin to touch those. And many times we are so involved in things that we're never even going to experience in our own life. I'm going to tell you, stop worrying about things out there, and you just worry about your life, those that come across your path, and begin to touch those in your life and begin to be a person of compassion to those that are hurting. It might be in the house of God. In fact, the Word of God says, don't give up being kind and doing works of kindness, especially to the household of faith. See, many times we have dismissed the church. Well, they don't need my compassion. They should have done this all along. They know Jesus. Compassion goes both sides. We need to have compassion on whoever it is. And whether they deserve it or not, it doesn't matter. So many times we only give compassion on who we choose, we think deserves it. We need to make a difference in whoever's life we can touch. You think of the great servant girl, the Jewish girl in the Old Testament, who was a captive, who had been taken away from her family. And she served in the house of the general who had won the war and probably killed the rest of her family. And yet it was through her compassion for her captor, Naaman, General Naaman. She said, Naaman, who was suffering with leprosy, she said, I know a person that will pray for you and will heal you. She had compassion not on the victim, but she had compassion on the authority. And through that, Naaman, we know the story, went down to the river and dipped and dipped and dipped. But God did a miracle in his life because of a little girl's compassion. Are we willing to have compassion for the hurting and stop defining people by labels? And it goes the other way too. The homeless person, the person who doesn't deserve it. Some of us are on the other side that we don't look at those people as deserving. And we need to understand that God loves those that we have been critical of, that we have casted out. In fact, we know the story of the Good Samaritan. And after he told the story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus asked this question. He said, which of these three do you think proved to be a good neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And he said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. We need to be people that just show mercy. Not that are judgmental and critical and post all the stuff that makes us look like we're championing things, but all we're doing is tearing one side down in the case of the other. That's not mercy. That's religious self-righteousness. Jesus said, go and show mercy. Even from a Samaritan. Be a neighbor. I don't care. Don't look for who is your neighbor. You just be a neighbor. Micah tells us this. God has told you. He has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. If you want to share Jesus, love kindness. Love kindness. Even if you've been hurt, are you willing to love the people that have hurt you? That's compassion. You know why we can do that? Because love compels me. You know why I can love someone who has hurt me? Because Christ has loved me and I hurt him. We need to understand that. We need to let go of our unforgiveness, our bitterness. Yes, there's hurt. And God understands that, but let God come into your heart and heal you. Let God walk the journey with you. Then you will be compelled, and it will be easy to have compassion on others because God has had compassion on you. Some of us, we need to let God have compassion on us. Some of us, we are harboring the hurt, and you need God to just fill you with his compassion. We need to share Jesus through compassion for others. But not only that, is we need to share Jesus by shining in the world. That means just live, how you live your life shares Jesus. And I know this is, we've talked about this maybe a lot, you've heard this in your life, that what Jesus said, he said that you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall it be salty, and how will it be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, and nor do people hide and put their light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a stand, and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Many times we use this as our excuse. You know, I'm not necessarily a witnesser. I don't necessarily share Jesus with them, but I'm just going to live in front of them in that way. That's good, but I'm going to tell you, are you really doing that? I'm glad that's your excuse, but let me ask you, are you really doing that? Are you really shining your light? Are you living a life that shines Jesus? Because I'm telling you, it's more than just not lying and following all the Ten Commandments, and I don't steal, and they see that I don't cuss, and I don't do these things. That's good, but you know what? The best sinner does that. When it says, let your light so shine before people, it means, do they see a different priority within you? Do they see that you love something more, that you are compelled to love God? Do they see that in your choices of your life? Do they see that in the words that you talk about? Do they see that in the love and passion of what you have passion about? Because I'm telling you, I think most of us, we live good, but we're passionate about other things. I'm going to tell you, the people around you, they know what you're passionate about. And they probably know you're a Christian. Oh yeah, he's a Christian, but he really loves this. I'm going to tell you, the people that are not, and they're easy, they're not going to come to Christ for that, because you know what? They just see it as one of many ways. I can be a Mormon and love this, and I can be a Jehovah's Witness, or I can be a Buddhist, and it's just one other thing that we like, but together we share the passion for whatever it is. Music or sports. And that's what we're really living for. They see that in us. What are we really shining before people so that they might look at our life and give glory to God? That person really loves God. There's something different about them. You see, so before we just mark off the excuse that I'll just live a good life in front of people and they'll come to Jesus for that, you need to ask yourself, are you really sharing Jesus through your life? Now, I'm telling you, a life passionately lived for Christ can win someone to God without ever saying a word. But it better be a life passionate for Christ. That is a way that we share Jesus, by shining in the world. I want to love God so much that it shines. I want to love God so much that it compels me, that they can see the difference of why I live that way. You don't have to say anything, but let me ask you, are you really living? Do they see your priorities? Do they see your value, what you value? He said a powerful statement was made in our Sunday school class this morning of a family that said, you know what? My kids are up and gone, and here's my regret. We raised them in church, but we didn't raise them in Christ. I'm going to tell you, you can be raised in church, you can live in church, and it will mean nothing. We need to live in Christ. Are we really entering into Christ? The next thing is, of course, we share Jesus by speaking. How can we not share Jesus by telling about him? If we love him, we're going to be compelled to share him. That means say something. In fact, the Bible says, how will they know him unless they hear? They can even see your life, but unless they know why you live that life, unless they hear your words, unless you praise the one who saved you, unless you love him enough to speak words of praise and bring people to him, you're never going to share him the way he needs to be shared. I mean, Jesus said this, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That means speak it. It doesn't necessarily mean on a pulpit. You might preach the gospel by simply saying to your friend, I love God so much. You've just preached a sermon. But we are called to speak. You know, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and all the world. Witnesses simply shares what they saw. Man, God has been good to me. You've just witnessed to that person. Do you just begin to be filled with the presence of God that he is in everything we talk about? We are called to share Jesus, and we don't have to know all the answers or be afraid to give a full sermon, but you just need to let Jesus come out of your lips. Are we willing to share that? Does he mean enough to us? But I'm going to tell you, before he comes out of your lips, you better make sure your life is backing it up, or what they're going to say is, you know what, you're sure a hypocrite, because I hear what you say, but you don't really mean it. But don't let that stop us. Let us just fix that by let's turn our hearts to knowing God, so that when what comes out of our mouth will be the truth and it will reflect the joy that's in my heart. In fact, the Bible says, be ready to share the reason for your joy when they ask you, why do you have hope? Oh, let me tell you why I have hope. Because you know what? I have been hurt by life. I've been beaten down. But even in the midst of that, I know that God loves me. He has not let go of me. Can you say that? If you've experienced it, then you can share it with someone. The final thing. Not only do we need to speak it, but we share by sending others that are called. Now, we're all called, but there are those that are called to go maybe away. And we share by sending. We need to understand that the word says in Romans, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how will they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they going to believe in him whom they've never heard? And how will they hear unless someone preaches? But how are they going to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. You see, as we send, as we support, that's why missions is so important to us. Benevolence is so important, because we are to send people. So we also, as we give, when we give of our own resource, what God has given us, we send those out into the world. And there is no better way to share Jesus in a way that you may never see them, but yet you have a part in touching someone around the world. When you send, when you support missions and benevolence and the ministries of the church, it's just as important. So here's the thing. This is not a buffet. And maybe we say, ooh, okay, I like that, I like this, I'm going to do those. This is not a buffet. This is not a pick 'em. These are all on your plate. It's all of these. If we are to share God, we need to begin to enter into every one of these, because they all happen at the same time. In my life, I am going to build the body. And while I'm building the body, I'm going to encourage people around me. And as I'm encouraging them, God, fill me with a compassion that not only starts in the church, but goes out of its building. And as I go to work, there's a compassion for those around me. Not just for those in the gutters and the homeless, but maybe even someone I work with that God gives me a sensitivity that they might be hurting. And while I'm doing that, I'm shining in the world that let everything I do, I pray, God, let everything I do be a witness unto you. And when I get a chance, I'm going to share the word. And then the places I can't go, I'm going to give. God bless as I give unto those that those might go. And so we live a life of all of these. Because of one reason, and this is where we come back to the beginning, the love of Christ compels me. So as we close today, I want to ask you this question. Is the love of Christ compelling you? What are you compelled by today? What is motivating your life? What is the source of everything you do? Is it anger? Maybe right now the motivation in your life is bitterness. It is hurt. God's here today to say, would you come and receive? I want to give you a love that will cover up your hurt. Is it desire that's motivating you today? Is it pleasure? I want this. Is it relationships? Ooh, I just want to build that. That person is. Jesus is here to say, you know what, that's great, but do you want me to make that something that will last? Then put that aside for a second and let me be the source. If you will come today, Jesus said, if you will delight yourself in me, I will give you the desires of your heart. But if you delight yourself in the desires of your heart, you will lose the very life that God has to give you. So today, I'm asking you, what is compelling you? Let God give you a new motivation so that you might share God in everything you do. Your life will be a letter written by God, that you will be his ambassador. God will be crying through you, come to me. And in so doing, we will experience the joy of knowing that my life matters, that I am making a difference, and that's better than anything else. Let's share Jesus. Let's bow our heads.